This morning on the immutability of God, the unchangeableness of our God. And we're in Hebrews chapter 13, and I want to read just verse 8. You probably know this, but Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. 2020 has been a year that's full of upheaval. It's been a year full of change. On the 31st of January, we left the European Union officially after 3.5 years. On that very same day, the first case of COVID-19 was diagnosed in a patient in the UK. This alien disease that we had never heard of, but that was going to wreak havoc in our lives throughout the year. Never did we think that we would spend weeks and weeks completely locked down, away from work, away from family. Never did you think, I'm sure, that you'd be sitting here masked on the last Sunday of the year. We didn't think we'd be separated from our families at Christmas time. But here we are this morning. And I'm sure, like me, you're waiting for 2021 to commence and to wave goodbye to 2020. A year when everything that we took for granted was taken away from us. There's big changes last year, perhaps unexpectedly, and perhaps personally and corporately as a church, you've had some huge changes. Some people have lost employment, they've lost loved ones, they've lost health and mobility. Everything seems to be changing all around, and at a pace perhaps more than what we're comfortable with. Whenever we break into our text this morning, the writer to the Hebrews is speaking to believers to encourage them in a time of their greatest need. Whenever there's upheaval and time of change. You see, some of their leaders at this time had died. They were in a period of transition. They had been martyred. They were being imprisoned, as we see there in verse 2. But yet, the writer to the Hebrews, he writes this verse. In the middle of it all, about the Lord Jesus who never changes, who was, who is, and who is to come. In other words, He's immutable. And that's the great characteristic I want to look at with you this morning, the immutability of our God. Dr. Alan Kearns, in his book, The Dictionary of Theological Terms, helpfully defines immutability like this. The attribute of God whereby He cannot change or be changed in His essence or His perfections. In other words, He is unchangeable. You know, that's the attribute of God that the other attributes flow out of. For He's immutably holy. He's immutably righteous. He's immutably sovereign. And we could go on and go on. But that text this morning that we read, that's our springboard from which we leap in our study together through this morning. You know, the writer of the Hebrews, he started off the book of Hebrews with one great phrase, "Thou art the same." In chapter 6, he wrote about how the immutability of the Lord's counsel. And then in our text this morning, we read that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. You see, the two bookends of Hebrews are focused on that wonderful characteristic. And slap bang in the middle of the book, there's the characteristic. It runs the whole way through the book. And that should be a great encouragement for each one of us this morning as we enter out of an old year into a new year. A new period of unknown in our lives. But as we go into the year, we go into the year with one who is unchangeable. That one who guides us, the one who leads us, the one who walks with us is unchangeable. You know, I want to think just of a few things about the Lord that are unchangeable. First of all, think about the immutability of His person. You know, from the day you and I were born, we've all been changing. Our personalities change. Our style changes. Our physique changes. All those human aspects of changeability, though, can never be applied to our God. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His person is changeless because His person is perfect. If you think about it, if He had the ability to change for the better, he would cease to be God because he wouldn't be perfect. If he changed for the worse, he would cease to be God because then he would be imperfect, and God can never be imperfect. I like what old Arthur Pink had to say. He said, God cannot change for the better, for he is perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. You remember the Lord himself said, I am the Lord, I change not. You know what that means? Nothing he said about himself in history, in the biblical record, will ever be changed. Nothing that the prophets revealed about him, nothing that they said will ever fall away. It'll always remain. That's why within the Word of God, the Lord is compared to a rock that is immovable. You know, the Psalms, and we can all think of them, are full of wonderful descriptions of that rock. It gives us the idea of stability, of permanence. Wonder if you ever sat beside a river whenever it's in full flow and there's a rock slap bang in the middle of that river that just changes the course of the water's flow. The water could be like us. It's ever moving. It's unstable. It changes its path and chooses that path of least resistance, but not our God. No, he's the rock that stands firm, that unchangeable rock, but he changes the direction and the pace of our flow of life, for he is constant. I'm sure you've all been let down by people. People can be fickle. That's why God says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. God's creatures change at every whim. We can't put our faith in them because they like you today and they can hate you tomorrow. To illustrate that, you remember that the multitude in the Word of God that cried out to the Lord when he was riding into Jerusalem, Hosanna to the Son of David, but they quickly changed their mind. Their mood changed and they cried away with him, crucify him. But the one that we think about this morning is the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. There's no variableness or change of any kind. You know, that's a great comfort, a great blessing to our souls, as we realise that the human nature can never be relied on, but the Word of God, the God of the Word, he's the God that's faithful. He's the God that we can rely on. And no matter what our friends are like or our relatives or our fellow humans, there is a God who is stable. There's a God who's always the same. The permanence of his character, you know, that assures us that we can trust in him. Isaiah said, for the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. What a God. What a fact to let our hearts be filled with today. That no matter what changes in the world in this new year, the affection of God towards us as his children will never change. He never loves us more. He never loves us less, because he can't love us more or more love us less. He'll never pour his wrath upon us, dear Christian friend, because his wrath was poured upon the Son of God, the only begotten Son that became sin for us. That's the God we worship. That's the God we'll come to remember at his table at the end of the meeting. That's who our faith is in this morning. Think again, though, at his provision, for his provision is immutable. You remember that the prophet Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah knew that his mercies were new every morning. They were limitless. They didn't cease. Just think of all the necessities that the Lord has provided you and me with down through this past year. As difficult as it has been, there hasn't been a day gone by whenever we haven't eaten. We haven't been able to get in the car. We've been clothed. We've had homes to live in. How privileged we are in Ulster this morning Yet those are the things I personally find that I take for granted so often. Let me ask you this morning, has he ever failed you? Wonder as you look back over 2020, it's been a difficult year, but can you plot the hand of the goodness of God down through your life? Sometimes we don't see it at the time, but on reflection we see the hand, we trace the provision of God at exactly the right time, at exactly the right need. The temporal blessings he has given us. But think again of the spiritual blessings that he's given us. For whenever we think of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, sometimes you have to wonder why he went all the way for us. Wretched sinners that we are, whenever I think of my sinful life, I can't get over what the Lord has done for me. You know, the Apostle Paul couldn't get over that either. You remember he said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. The Apostle Paul was probably the greatest of the apostles. Yet he realized that on that road, whenever the Lord saved him, that he was one of the greatest sinners, going to persecute the church, and he never forgot what the Lord had done for him. That's why we come every week to the Lord's table, because it's commanded by him, this do in remembrance of me. Wonder, am I speaking to someone in the meeting this morning, or maybe online, and you've never came to that point of repentance in your life? You've never came to that provision that's been made for you? Well then, my dear friend, why not at the end of 2020 put your faith in him just where you are, just where you sit, just in your home this morning, and start on the road of life for 2021, filled with the promises, filled with the provision of God. His provision is immutable. But then think again of the immutability of his precepts, or the immutability of the Word of God. You know, that's very important, and it's a wonderful attribute in our day and age, whenever every single view that's held out there seems to be right. There's no absolute truth, they tell us. You know, we're viewed as being an intolerant bigot if you stand firm on the Word of God. You see, you only need to look down Facebook to see that. The world wants Christians to abandon all the precepts of the Word of God that it doesn't like and adopt this strange culture of love that they had. But it's not love of the Bible, is it? You know, as Christians, we're living in an increasingly intolerant society, but we must stand firm on the Word of God that was once delivered. We must not, and we cannot change it, because it's not ours to change. The unchangeable God never changes to suit the standards of the modern day, let alone the seculars of the 21st century. And I know your elders stand firm on the Word of God, and we as believers need to stand behind them firm on the Word of God. You know, I'm sure that you've changed your mind like I have on things that you've said. Maybe it's that ill-spoken word to a friend that you've said, or you've said you'll go somewhere and later on you'll change your mind. You don't want to go. That's our human nature, the type of wavering that can never be ascribed to God. For he never takes anything back which he has said, for what he says is permanent. His word never fails to come to pass. You remember that Balaam hit the nail on the head whenever he said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? You know, the psalmist gave a strong testimony in the unchangeableness of the Word of God. You remember that he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You notice the word settled. It means permanent. It's as if it's etched on a piece of stone or on permanent marker. It remains fixed. It remains firm. You know, that should give us comfort this morning. That God's word doesn't morph with the changeable times. It's not altered by the whims of society. What God said 2, 3, 4,000 years ago is still as reliable, it's still as relevant as it was then today. You know, someone wisely said that the Bible is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. For in it you have all you need. You have the historical narratives providing us with lessons from the past. We have daily manna to help us in the present. And we have the prophecies that will all happen in the future. I mean, what more could we need this morning? We have the divinely inspired roadmap that tracks the hand of God from Genesis 1 in creation to the end of the world in Revelation. Every detail will come to pass because God's word this morning is immutable. The Lord Jesus confirmed that point whenever he said in Matthew 5 and 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled." That word jot, it's a tiny letter. It's the tiniest letter in the Hebrew alphabet that looks just like a little apostrophe. The tittle refers to the cross on the T that differentiates it from an I. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes whenever I'm reading the Bible, you come across these long passages that are filled with numbers or genealogies that just don't seem to be as important as the other parts of Scripture, which we can get so excited about. But what Jesus is saying here in that verse is that the most minute detail, the most obscure passage of Scripture will all be brought to complete fulfillment. That's why it's so important to read the Bible from start to finish. It's all pertinent. It's all God-breathed. What God said yesterday will be true today and as well into tomorrow. What the Bible said was wrong today will never be right tomorrow. Wrong will be wrong forever and right will be right forever on the authority of the Word of God. You know, some of you know that before January of last year I worked in the tax profession. All the legislation for that has been created over a number of years. But every time the Chancellor makes a budget announcement or the revenue make a change in the legislation, we had to always be up to date with those various changes because the legislation was never perfect. But you know, this book this morning, it is perfect. It requires no changes. It doesn't need to be updated because it's immutable. You know, I was reading a couple of weeks ago in the book of 1 Samuel, and there's a lovely phrase that has been on my mind for some time. It says this, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Isn't that lovely? The word of God was precious. I ask you this morning, is the word of God precious to you? Can you say, like the psalmist did, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night"? As we enter into a new year, can I encourage you to get into the Word of God? To feast daily on the manna that has been provided. Maybe there's some believer in the meeting this morning who's hungry for the Word of God, but you just don't know where to start. Can I recommend to you Robert Murray McShane's daily reading plan? Starts on the 1st of January, and I think it's about 4 chapters every day. And within a year, you'll have gone through the Old Testament once, the New Testament twice, and the Psalms twice. I know you'll all find that helpful if you do that. Nigel's already mentioned the Wednesday night meeting, and I think I've already mentioned it a couple of times before, but the Wednesday night Bible class has to be a priority in our week. I know the time's limited and the business needs your calling and the family needs your presence, but I know from my own experience that I learnt more on a Tuesday night in Lurgan Baptist at our Bible class than what I learnt anywhere else. Getting wee nuggets that you maybe don't see in your own study time. That's where you're going to be built up, my friends, in our most holy faith, by studying God's word with our fellow believers. Now, I'm reminded of the story Mr. Mullen used to tell of whenever he conducted a mission in Banbridge. There was a man who owned a gym that got saved. His classes were on a Wednesday night, and that was the same night that the prayer meeting was on. And he came to Mr. Mullen and said, "I'm in a real fix. I just don't know what to do. I go and help these boys build their bodies on a Wednesday night, but the church prayer meeting's on a Wednesday night as well. What should I do?" Mr. Mullen said, "I'm not your Lord. I'll not tell you what to do. But here's what I would do. Whenever you leave the house, there's two roads. There's one to the gym where you'll go and build temporal bodies on young men. The other road leads to the prayer meeting where you will go and pray for eternal souls." You know, he didn't need to answer that, and neither really do we. Whatever is holding you back on a Wednesday night, can I encourage you to get rid of it? The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." You get to the prayer meeting, the rest of the other stuff will work out. His word's immutable. But then that leads us on to his promises are immutable. I don't know about you, but I love to read the promises of God. We claim them because we know that they're unchangeable. But if one were to be changed, or if one could be changed, we wouldn't believe them at all. C.H. Spurgeon, perhaps the greatest preacher ever to have lived in recent times, said, "If I thought that the notes of the Bank of England could not be cashed next week, I should decline to take them. And if I thought that God would see it right to alter some word in his promises, then farewell, scriptures." Spurgeon was a man who was prone to depression. He needed to be assured of the promises of God, and he was utterly convinced of their immutability. And based on those promises, he became one of God's most choice servants of the 19th century. In 1896, Glasgow University conferred on Dr. David Livingstone a doctorate of law. As David Livingstone rose to speak, he was received with a respectful silence. He was haggard and gaunt from his weary travels in Africa. His left arm had been crushed by a lion, and during his address he announced his resolve to return to Africa. He added this, "Would you like me to tell you what supported me throughout all the years of exile among a people whose language I didn't understand, whose attitude towards me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this: lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." On these promises I staked everything, and they never failed. You know, Dr. David Livingstone was solely motivated. He solely relied on the promises of God and had faith in the promises of God. And my dear friends, so can we at the start of this new year. You know, isn't it wonderful to claim those promises? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee whenever the world walks out. The bread of life when you're hungry. The light of the world when you cannot find your way. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother when you're lonely." Those are the promises that we can claim getting into 2021. I want you to notice or think about, finally, is the immutability of his presence. The writer in our text tells us that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, in that, there's the great doctrine of the eternality of our God, that he never had a beginning and he'll never have an end. He was there before the hills in order stood or earth received its frame. There was God. The word of God even tells us that from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. He's described as the eternal King, the immortal God, the one who alone is immortal. You remember the words of Psalm chapter 90. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or even now hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." He never had a beginning. Yes, Jesus came to humanity through the Christmas story, but that wasn't his beginning, for he always pre-existed, for he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That means he's constant. That means he's constantly there. You know, as we walk on our road of life and go into this new year, he's always there for you. He's always there for me. You know right from the word go that God presenced himself with his people. You remember how Adam and Eve enjoyed his intimate communion before the fall. Then after that we read of the Lord guiding and the Lord presencing himself with the children of Israel through the desert, through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was his Shekinah glory guiding them. And then you remember on the day of Pentecost, whenever the church was first established, the Spirit of God entered into the believers. And right from that day until today, when someone receives the Lord Jesus, they receive the Holy Spirit on conversion. I wonder, do you ever stop and think and wonder of that? That glorious third person of the Trinity indwells you, he indwells me. Maya, sometimes if we think of that, if we grasp the reality of that, the fear would be completely out of us. The unknown wouldn't be the unknown, because the God who knows everything dwells within us. How can we fear whenever he can, well, says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Wonder, is his presence real to you this morning? You remember that whenever the children of Israel sinned that terrible sin at the foot of Mount Horeb and built the golden calf, that God threatened to withdraw his presence from the children of Israel. He wasn't going to leave them alone, though. He was going to send the angel before them. But what use is an angel whenever you're so used to having the presence of the living God? Moses went and interceded on behalf of the people for the presence of God, and God then said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. It was no longer the promise of the angel, but it was God himself. Not some distant presence, but it was close companionship of one that was more than able to meet the need of Moses for guidance, for strength, for companionship. I mean, how could Moses be lonely whenever he was promised an unchanging, an unfailing friend that was going to accompany him through the wilderness, who communed with him in the tent, and who would go before him into the battle? My, what a presence. You know, my dear friends, it's the same presence that goes before us into a new week, into a new year. It's the same presence that has walked with us down through the last year. It's that same presence that indwells you and I through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus called the Holy Spirit? He called him the Comforter, the Paraclete, or the Advocate. It's wonderful, you know, to have that indwelling power within us that just whispers to us this morning by his Spirit, my presence shall go with thee. Wonder, as I close this morning, am I speaking to someone who's discouraged or despondent? The burden seems too great for you to bear. If that's you this morning, then the Lord says, my presence shall go with thee. Is your heart aching for that loved one that's gone home to glory and you just feel that the pain is unbearable? He says, my presence shall go with thee. Wonder, is it somebody in leadership in a church or a missionary organization and you've had it up to here, you're ready to resign, you're ready to write that letter? He says, my presence shall go with thee. You know, my dear friend, whether you're on the mountain peak or whether you're down in the valley, that message is still the same. My presence shall go with thee. For his presence is immutable. You know, whenever we think of the immutability of God, it should thrill our soul. You remember that hymn? I'd love to sing it this morning if we're able to sing. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. As we go into a new year, not knowing what the next year holds, for good or for bad, we know that we trust in one who holds the future. My dear friends, be encouraged this morning, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father,